Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Which one is that? That's the second time it's gone off.
They never go home, those boys.
That's... Yeah, they have asked for that, really.
Yeah, you can laugh. That was the World Cup.
I'm a little bit of an idealist. But having said that, I want to be like me.
You don't know what you're talking about.
What did you know?
I managed to stay alive for 6 days.
I'd say it to you,
but
it's not saying it to now.
I'm down Swanfield and we'll see them, won't we?
What you doing down here, you shawny man?
We're down to our third choice goalkeeper at this point, missing a couple of centre-backs, a bunch of midfielders, a probable starting striker. This could only be an Ireland international week in the Bossman Steo era. You're welcome to your second captain's Monday football mini podcast. We've got a full show on the way for World Service members tomorrow, featuring a big match preview with Richie Sadler, who's going to be back on again on Thursday after that Serbia game on Wednesday night. And I'm sure, depending on the result, you'll also be hearing from Gene and the army of Stephen Kenny knockers that he's been steadily assembling over 660 minutes of goalless football. Hi, Murph. Hi, Ken.
Owen, how are you doing?
Hey, old. How's it going?
It's going okay. Harry Kane is, I'm sure, going to add to his tally of 32 international goals for England when they play San Marino this week. Kane has been in the news this weekend with these stories suggesting he wants to get away from Spurs, which is bad news for an emailer here, Damian Murphy, who got onto us last week. Hey lads, as a Spurs supporter and season ticket holder and supporter of the last 34 years, I have an issue with this narrative that Harry Kane is a dirty player. We talked about Harry Kane after the North London Derby last week. This narrative was started by Arsenal fans in relation to him backing into opponents to win free kicks. Don't forget, Arsenal supporters hate Harry Kane so much they'd rather England not win anything while Kane was involved with the England team. I think there have been three instances in the last 7 years, all of which occurred this season that I can remember. Hardly cause to vilify the man. I'd be fairly confident in the last 7 years, players other than Harry Kane have backed into opposition players while they were jumping to head a ball. In relation to the incident last Sunday in which Harry Kane barged Gabriel in the back, it was worthy of no more than a yellow card, in my opinion, which the panel on the football show on Sky Sports News on Monday morning agreed, one of them being former referee Dermot Gallagher. Yeah, but what accent was Dermot speaking in? That's a big question there. If anyone else other than Harry Kane was involved...
He was just telling the Brits what they wanted to hear.
The email's quite long, but it goes on in the same vein. If he was anyone else other than Harry Kane involved in this incident, there would have been no mention of whatsoever. As usual, a bunch of Arsenal trolls posted somewhere on social media and it grew from there, Ken. What do you reckon?
When was this letter written? It must have been written before last night.
It was on St. Patrick's Day, 17th of March.
Well, like, what did Damien have to say about it last night? I mean, this is a penalty that Harry Kane won against Villa, and it's just honestly, he invented a new way to cheat. Seriously, like somewhere. Like, I've never seen a player do what Harry Kane did to win this penalty. Have you seen the actual penalty? Because it was on, like, who is going to watch Jose Mourinho's Tottenham against Aston Villa at 7:30 on a Sunday night? Not many people. However, I was watching it as I had to write some stuff about Harry Kane. Well, I didn't have to. I chose to write some stuff about Harry Kane and how, you know, when you sign a 6-year contract, sometimes the commitment is worth the paper it's written on. Unfortunately, the paper it's written on is your problem. I mean, David Ornstein had that story that you referred to, Owen, that Harry Kane has reluctantly concluded the time has come to spread his wings and fly away from Tottenham to somewhere with a better chance of, I don't know, winning the league title or Champions League or whatever. The problem, however, is that in 2018, he signed a 6-year contract. It's like, why did you do it, Harry? Like, literally, if you'd signed a 4-year contract in 2018, you would now be coming to the last year of that and you would have your pick of European clubs. But instead, it's 3 years and Levy can charge whatever he likes for you, so no one will buy you because you're too expensive. That's the kind of big picture situation with Harry Kane, which is why I think he should just get used to the idea of spending the rest of his career at Tottenham. You know, look, there's worse places to spend a career.
Well, that's good news for Damian Murphy, but if Harry Kane is going to be knocking around. But hang on, I must confess I didn't watch the game live last night. I did watch the highlights on Match of the Day 2, and the angles they showed, it seemed like, was he not taken out by Matty Cash?
Yeah, but what does he do to get taken out? This is actually incredible what he did. So Matty Cash is the Villa right back. Harry Kane is played into space down the sort of left channel, is running into the box. The ball is there. Harry Kane's going to get to the ball first, but Matty Cash has got Harry Kane within range. And so what Matty Cash thinks Harry Kane is going to do is try to control that ball by taking a touch on it. Or maybe he's going to try and cross the ball first time, because it's in that situation where maybe that's the better option. One way or the other, Matty Cash knows that he wants to get there to where that ball's going to be. Because either way, if Harry Kane controls the ball, unless he's able to execute a really impressive sort of instant stop, drag back, kind of the sort of thing that you might think Eric Lamella would be more the man for than Harry Kane, a big man like Harry Kane. Unless he's able to do something really spectacular, that ball is going to be right about where Matty Cash ends up. Only the thing is, Harry Kane's too clever for Matty Cash. He's got no interest in that ball whatsoever. He, in fact, jumps over the ball, leaving it to run out of play in order that he can get to the point where Matty Cash is sliding to intercept the ball, so that Matty Cash intercepts him. So yes, Owen, there is contact. Harry Kane accepts that contact. He's engineered the contact. He's done it by leaving the ball to run out of play. He's dummied and jumped to a position where he would never ordinarily be if he had tried to control the ball in the normal way in order to get a penalty. I honestly have to say, I'd never seen it before. Like, somewhere, Luis Suarez is looking at a WhatsApp group chat going, can you believe this crooked bastard? I've never seen anyone do this before. We have got to practice this tomorrow in training. You know, like, I was blown away by it. Like, I have to say...
It's not a little bit of gamesmanship, Ken? Is that not what the game is all about? Is it not just an extended version of exaggerating contact or instigating contact, which a lot of players do, and get a dive? Is this not just pretty commonplace?
I just think, you know, if you're going to have VAR, surely you should be able to go, hang on a second, this is not... What are you doing, Harry? Like, you gave up the possibility of touching the ball in order to jump into this guy.
It's like an entire negation of the ball itself as a factor in the game, you know? He's only using the ball as a
decoy.
It's there to tempt
Matty Cash. Matty Cash naively believes that Harry Kane is going to try and control the ball like a normal player. Like, he's going to try and control or cross the ball. But no, he's too clever for that. He's too clever for Matty Cash.
Wait a big... Yeah, go on, sorry.
So, I mean, to me, it shouldn't have been awarded as a penalty. I mean, it would have fooled a referee, I guess, 100% of the time, a normal referee. But you should have been able to see on the video replay that, hang on a second, this is the clearest case of trying to get a foul. Like, I mean, and you see players not given penalties for that the whole time, you know, when they sort of try and kick the guy and then flop. This is like a really clear example of that, like a really ingenious example. Like, I would put it, it's in terms of winning penalties, it's up there with like Pele, you know, rounding the Uruguayan goalkeeper. It's like, who would think to do that? Like, the creativity that's gone into that. However, it is the black arts. It is the dark arts that Harry Kane is increasingly specialized in.
We had a big response to the Snaid and Brano show from the World Service last week. David Snaid demanded a theme tune for the next time they're on together talking League of Ireland. We can do better than that, David. We can give you that theme tune right now.
He's a madman, letting off fireworks and people's runners and all sorts.
I just had a lot of good fun. I got a bowls games.
It's not off the record stuff, it's on the record. If he's a spacer.
If you look at the flares, if you look at flags. You can also like sneak your cans into the stand really easily.
Come on, come on, come on, come on, now touch me, mate.
We need to touch each other more.
Can't you see that I am not afraid?
You're for amazing sign.
What was that promise that you made?
That's what going to a football match is about.
Why won't you tell me what she said?
Touching other people, you're hugging other people.
What was that promise that you made?
We need to touch each other more.
Now I'm gonna love you till the heavens stop the rain.
You're for amazing sign.
There you go, David Snaith. I hope that meets your exacting standards on this matter, and we look forward to getting yourself and Brano back together. You like that one, Murph?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot to love there, Owen. A lot to love. The Doors, a band that you were incapable of recognising when we were first played this.
Didn't know that tune.
This clip.
I have to admit that, yeah. Did not know that.
Every day is a school day.
Charlie Pulling says, "Dear Captains, may I not be the only one to express my gratitude for covering League of Ireland. I'm fully aware that the Second Captain's World Service is enjoyed throughout the planet by listeners who may never have stepped foot on the historic cobbles of the nation's capital, never seen the sun glint off the pool bag stacks, never bought a penny apple from Bill Cullen, never seen John play, but knew who he was. However, as much as I enjoyed the chat about the soon commencing M50 Economic Activity Region Premier Division and updates on the five or so clubs battling out for this season's crown, I was somewhat disappointed to hear one of your guests mention Sligo Rovers, a team from outside of the M50 Economic Activity Region, and their inability to sell their jersey in 25 different countries. While this statement may have some factual basis, it ignored the more relevant point that Sligo are too busy giving their jerseys away. I refer you to the link below, which details the Bitter Reds' latest endeavour to gift 1,000 replica jerseys to newborn babies brought into the world at Sligo University Hospital. And there is
the hand that rocks the cradle.
So, well done, Sligo Rovers. Happy to mention that for you, Charlie Pulling. Michael Moran emails in. Were you coming back in there, Ken? No.
I mean, it's a nice initiative, I think.
No, I'm pretty sure it's fine. It's fine.
That's good.
Get him early. Michael Moran says, "Well, lads, as a lapsed League of Ireland fan, I was a Galway United supporter with my dad, but I lost all interest in the league after that, and even the current iteration of the club."
When they liquidated. He lost all interest when they liquidated.
When they liquidated,
He didn't lose all interest because his dad was there. They liquidated, and then he lost interest in the league.
"And even the current iteration of the club doesn't interest me. I was trying to get back into League of Ireland since it is my local league and I'm sick of only caring about English football. Bo's always interested me, and since I currently live near Dalymount and their political message has always vibed with me, putting 'Refugees Welcome' on an away shirt is an incredibly brave thing for a football club of any level to do. But the latest away jersey is a joke to me. Everything about it is offensive. The terrible round badge, the claim of ownership to the Poolbeg Towers, the crap tribal tattoo on the sleeve, and worst of all, a link up with Fontaine's team. See, a band that pretends to be from inner city Dublin, but the only member of the band from Dublin is a lad from Skerries who fakes a North Dublin accent." Hold on a second. Skerries is North Dublin, right? Yeah, it's hard
North
to get
county Dublin. Dublin.
Yeah, it's
North
hard to get
county Dublin,
it's hard to get much further north in and remain in the county of Dublin than Skerries. "Fontaines are backed massively," this email continues, "by the press up group who are most to blame for the gentrification of Dublin's inner city. Are Bo's happy to be a symbol of gentrification in the city? I get that the jersey has been an easy stick to beat them with if you're a Rovers fan, but I thought I'd give you the viewpoint from a 20-something culchie who moved to Dublin for work and hates Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael for making rent almost completely unaffordable in Dublin. Regards from Michael." See, I told you there was a good, there was a fairly strong reaction to that piece.
Yeah, there you go. Now that not everyone loves that Bo's away jersey. I don't know if everything that's alleged here is strictly true. Do they pretend to be from inner city Dublin?
They went to college on Francis Street. It doesn't get any more inner city than that.
Are they backed massively by the press up group? Well, their manager is, you know, it's also works at the Workman's, I think, which is a press up bar. Are the press up group most to blame for the gentrification of Dublin's inner city? I don't think it's actually mainly been their work. they may be the sort of
beneficiaries,
the carrion crows, gobbling up all the rotting flesh strewn about the landscape. But I don't think they were what necessarily put all that put all that flesh there in the first place. You know what I mean? Symptom rather than cause, I would say. Press up bar. I mean, he mentions Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I suppose it's happy to be a symbol of gentrification. I think that's, I mean, it's a bold claim. I don't know if, but yeah, I mean, this is what happens when you put yourself out there. You know, when you put yourself out there, when you try to appropriate all the symbols of the city in one shirt, that it is natural in this city of big rudgery that particularly your rival clubs, particularly the ones who actually come from the area of town where those towers are so beautifully stand, might have a go back at you.
It is,
but I can't wait for you know, the what I want to see is the other clubs trying to market themselves, not necessarily in the same way, but to try to I mean, obviously they can't do it in exactly the same way, but I'm interested to see what they do come up with.
It is our short mini Monday podcast, so we barely even have time to mention the great entertainers of the Premier League. David Moyes' West Ham scoring two own goals to make the game interesting. Yeah, at the weekend. Declan Reisenbauer striding through from midfield, almost scoring a goal, having taken the ball past a flurry
of
defense.
Is Declan Reisenbauer an actual thing, or did you just make that
just
up?
Just made that up there. I just wanted to get that in before we wrap things up. Richie is on the podcast tomorrow on Thursday, and on Friday we celebrate our 2000th episode. We'll be doing that in style, not just on the day, but over the next month or so. We'll have guest presenters, big name interviews, throwback guests associated with Second Captains, and more from this guy.
All right, lads, well, onto our season review, if you don't mind. Roddy, can I ask you, first of all, for a highlight and a lowlight, please?
Yeah, just young Owen asking the hard questions as always there. You can join us now on secondcaptains.com for €5 a month plus VAT. We've also got our Six Nations podcast out right now, which is available to everybody. All right, that's it for now. Am I looking forward to Ireland, Serbia? I mean, I can't not. I always feel like I should lower my expectations, but surely we can score a goal. I mean, surely we can score a goal.
And well, Luxembourg on Saturday is perhaps a more likely prospect.
I'm talking Serbia. We'll see. Thanks, Murph.
Thank you, Owen. Thanks, Ken.
Thanks, Ken.
Thank you, Owen. Thank you, Ken.
Thanks for listening. Bye now.
The phone is at me. That's the second time it's gone off.
They never go home. Those boys.
It is not war and death and famine. It's not that at all. It's the opposite of that. It's the persuasion of the world outside of that. That's why sport's important.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market. Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.